We are holding on Dalet Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Hamakif is chaveru mishalosh ruchosav." If somebody's surrounded somebody else's field from three sides, so we're talking about that he has fields surrounding the other guy's field in the middle. Rashi says specifically has three of them, and he put fences around the by the borders between him and the other guy on the three sides where he owns. Now, we said in the previous Mishnah that in fields, you don't always have to have, you generally don't have to have a barrier between them and a border between, not a border, you don't need to have a fence between them anyway, unless Makom Shenagu, but here we're talking about either that there it is a Makom Shenagu or that he voluntarily himself, well, Pashtus, we're talking about that he voluntarily himself did it. Anyway, in Mechayven Oise, we don't require the guy in the middle to pay anything towards the fences because he's not really gaining anything from it. It's a bika, it's a valley where there are fields. It's not a place where they usually make fences anyway. So first it actually brings an explanation that the reason is because again it's a bika, it's a place with fields, and they don't normally fence it in anyway. Then there's a note added to Rashi. You have these things throughout this part of the Masech, the Tuf Mem Shin, which is I don't know what it stands for, but whatever, it's extra notes on Rashi that no, another reason is because he hasn't really gained anything from it. Anybody can come in from the fourth side anyhow. So even if it was a place where Makom Shenagu, according to that second way of looking at it, then nevertheless we would still say he'd be potter because he could still say, I'm not really gaining anything from you fencing it in on the three sides. Rabbi Yossi says, on the other hand, Omad Vegodra Saravias, if the guy in the middle went and fenced in the fourth side, then Megalgal and all of us are called, then we roll everything on him, meaning, in other words, that we make him pay towards the first three sides, and also because on the face of it, then the point is because now he's gaining something from the fact that there are fences. The fact that he put up a fence on the fourth side shows that he appreciates the ones on the first three sides, because otherwise why would he bother putting up a fence on the fourth side? So Rashi says that actually we don't have the word nikaf in the Mishnah over here. It doesn't explicitly say in the Mishnah im omad nikaf. It just says im omad if he stood up. But we mean the nikaf. Then again, you have this hagar in Rashi that in fact it is going to be referring to the nikaf. Tof Mem Shini stands for Tosfos Morenu Shmuel, so it's an addition from the Rashbam, apparently, even though we have later on in the Gemara is where the Rashbam actually takes over when Rashi passed away. Apparently he also put notes here and there in Rashi in the beginning of the Masechta as well. Tosfos also points out that there is actually one Lashon that we're going to see in the Gemara that says that maybe it's referring to the Makif, that maybe it's referring to the guy on the outside who puts up the fence on the fourth side. So we'll see about that in the Gemara. Anyway, so the Gemara starts off, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, De Amar, where he says, Amar v'gadar seravias, that if he fences in the fourth side, Megalgal and all of us hakol, then we roll on him, we make him pay for his fair share of all the other sides, because again, it shows that now he appreciates it and he benefited from it. And the point is, loishna omad nikaf, loishna omad makif. So to start with, then we're saying it doesn't matter who it is that put up the fourth side, whether it was the nikaf, the one in the middle, or the makif, the one who's surrounding it on all four sides. Either way, the idea would be that we would say that the fourth, whether the one in the middle, is now gaining, and therefore we would say that he has to pay his share. Now, how much does he have to pay? So Itmar Rav Huna Omar Kolofimasha Godar. And as far as this last point that we're talking about the makif for the nikaf, that actually and Hagos Tzionim, it points out that the Beis Yosef brings that actually that statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel about the halacha being like Rabbi Yosi and about the details of that is not in the Gemara. He didn't have it in the Gemara in front of him. Only he says the Rif and the Rosh quoted so that they had it in their Gemara, but the Beis Yosef didn't have it in his Gemara. Anyway. Itmar, so now there's a discussion on that point. How much does he have to pay? Rav Huna Amar Kolofim Ashagodar. Depends on what material and how much expenses went into making up the fence. So whatever it is that the guy spent, then the guy on the inside is going to have to pay half of it. Chiya Bar Rav Amar Kolofi Dmei Kanim Bezoil. Chiya Bar Rav says, no, he's only going to have to pay according to the cheaper value of reeds. In other words, because he can say, I wouldn't have needed, from my point of view, we didn't need a full fence over here. It would have been quite enough as far as I'm concerned then that we just put up a fence made out of reeds. And then Ramban explains, in other words, that basically we're talking about in a field. You want to have a stone fence around there, so therefore it's the equivalent, like a case we learned in Bava Metzia, where you have somebody who goes into somebody else's field where it's meant to be planted, and he, for whatever reason, didn't plant it this year, and you went and planted it, so then he's entitled to collect a certain amount of his expenses. Chiya Bar Rav figures that a person will often use weeds, and therefore, so now it's the equivalent of saying this is a place which is not normally planted, and why should I be responsible than to pay you for half of it, for half of what you spent, when I wouldn't have planted it at all, and it's not even a place that's normally meant to. So Chiya Bar Rav says that that's all he has to pay. And not only the full value of reeds, but only bezoil, like what you would get them if you could get them at the cheapest possible price. Usually in halacha, we say that when you're talking about the price of something bezoil, it usually means two-thirds of the regular amount. So the Gemara says, Tidan, well, let's look at our Mishnah. He fenced in the other guy from the three sides. The goddess or Shonev as Hashniev as Hashlishes, and he fenced in the first, second, and third sides. Ain Mechayvenoisa. Then at that point, we're not Mechayvim yet, implying Horavias Mechayvenoisa. Now, already then, the Tanakama seems to be implying that it means that on the fourth side, that if he does fence in all four sides, then we can be Mechayvim him, even though he himself is not the one who put up the fourth side, because at that point, we would say he's benefiting from it. So therefore, even the Tanakama, it would seem by his Loshen already, is requiring him to pay when there are four sides. Ema Sefer, but look at the next part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, Omeim, Omer, V'godos, Revius, Megagol, and all of us are Kol, where Rabbi Yossi is the one who brings in the part about if he fences in the fourth side. So Bishleimel Rav Huna, the Omer Hakolofi Mashagodaba Hainu Deikaben Tanakama for Rav Yosi. So according to Rav Huna, who says that Rav Yosi is going to make how much he pays depend on how much was spent on the fence. Well, now we understand the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yosi. The Tanakama is going to say that even when he fenced in the fourth side, he can still get away with paying only Dmei Kanim Bezoil. And Tosfos, by the way, points out the reason is because Anan Sadi, we can figure. Look, if he had been able to find Kanim, if he had been able to find such reeds cheaply, then he would have just gone ahead and said, you know what, I may as well spend the money and do it. So if we say that the Mishnah follows Rav Huna, then fine. Then the Tanakama is saying that you go according to what he actually built, and Rabbi Yossi, when he built the fourth one, and Rabbi Yossi is saying that only Im Omer V'Godor, only if he himself went and decided to put up a strong fence on the fourth side, then we're going to be mechayiv him for the whole thing. Rashi points out, you can't say that the Tanakama would say only if the Makif fenced in the fourth side and if the Nikaf, if the one on the inside did. No, you'd say all the more so, if he himself put up a fence, then there's no question he should have to pay. And according to Rabbi Yossi, again, at this point, Rabbi Yehuda started the Gemara by saying that it doesn't matter whether it was the Makif or the Nikaf. So therefore, so it has to be they're arguing about how much he gives him. According to the Tanakama, the Tanakama Savra Kolofi Dmei Kanim Bezoil. Sorry, I had it backwards. So according to the Tanakama, we're going to say he's always just going to have to pay the cheapest price that he could, the cheapest price that you could pay for reeds. And then yes, we're going to be mechayiv him. Masha Godo Loi, but not to make him responsible to pay the entire value of what the other half of the entire value of what the other guy put up, even if it was a stone fence. But Rabbi Yossi Savra Kolofi Masha Godo. Rabbi Yossi is going to take the view that you go according to whatever material he used. According to Rav Huna, the Mishnah is understandable very straightforwardly. But according to Chiya Bar Rav, that says that you always, even according to Rabbi Yosi Megagol and all of us are kol, means maximum he's paying for half of Dmei Kanim Bezoil. Well, my Ikabin Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi. What's the practical there? In what are the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi arguing? After all, the Tanakama's wording also suggests that he's doing four sides. If the Tanakama is going to say he doesn't even have to pay him for the cheapest price of reeds, then what is the Tanakama implicitly saying by saying if he fenced in on three sides, implying but once he fenced in the fourth side, then the rule is different? Well, what is the Tanakama going to require him to pay according to Chiya Barav, if according to Chiya Barav, even Rabbi Yossi is only requiring him to pay Dmei Kanin Bezor? So the Gemara says the few possibilities. First of all, the argument between them could be, it's true, according to Chiya Barav, both of them can agree that he only pays the cheapest price for the fourth side or for all four sides. But does he have to pay does he have to pay the payment that you would have to pay a watchman when the crops are ripe or almost ripe? Then you need to have somebody to watch the, if you don't have a fence over there, then you're gonna have to have somebody to watch the crops and make sure that animals or people or whatever don't make off with them. So we could say that's the machlokes. Tanakama sava agar natira ein mekanim bezoiloi. The Tanakama is going to say the maximum that you can the value that you would pay for you can be mechayev him to pay for a watchman, because you could say, listen, after all, you would have needed a watchman at least, that which is worth even less than a field. You have to pay him even less than a field. So therefore, you can at least be mechayiv him for that. And the Meiri adds, by the way, even if you're going to say a matter of hezekriya over here, you could say the hezekriya, people are going to stand over there and stare at it. Fine, the watchman would tell them, well, you have no business over here, go away. But the point is, you'd pay him less even than Dmei Kanin Bezor. So the Tanakama might say then that that's all you're making him pay. Dmei Kanin Bezor loy, but not to make him pay Dmei Kanin, which even though they're zoil, even though they're cheap, they're still more than a watchman. For Rabbi Yossi suffered to make Kanin Bezor, whereas Rabbi Yossi would require him to pay to make Kanin Bezor. So you could say that would work out according to Chiya Barav. Another way you could understand the machlokas, Rishona Shneur Shlishis Ikebenayu, the machlokas between them would be, do we obligate him to pay? Fine, we're saying we're obligating him, according to both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, to pay for towards the fourth wall. And according to both of them, we're saying Chiya Barav is going to say all he's on the hook for is Meikan and Bezo. But what about the first three walls? Is he responsible for anything with that? Tanakama sava revia sudi yovle. The Tanakama is going to say he's only chayav for the fourth one. Rishon ava rishon shni or shlishis la yovle, but he's not responsible for the first, second, and third, because at that point, once he was potter for them at the time, he based and already pottered him from paying for them. So now he's already yotze, based and was already motzi him and said he didn't have to pay for that anymore. Therefore, you can't now revert that and say that after all he should have to pay. Whereas Rabbi Yossi would say that after all he does have to pay for the first, second, and third, because now retroactively it turns out that he has in fact gained from it. So Tosfos gives a different explanation. Tosfos says no, the reason is because anybody would be willing to help with the fourth, where at that point he is going to be fenced in from four sides and he is gaining a great deal from that. That it's true. Now he's not so worried about animals or people or whatever coming in, or about hezekriah, if we say that hezekriah is a concern in a field. So we can assume the average person would indeed want to help with the fourth, and therefore WAC figures that the first, second, and third, there wouldn't be. The fourth wouldn't do any good without the first, third. Therefore, he can be on the hook for the third one as well. When Rashi says the reason is because Yotzim in Zakai, Tosfos says, wait a minute, he was Yotzim based in Zakai even for most of the fourth wall until we get to the last part of it. He's potter anyhow, because he can also say that's not really doing me any good until it's completely fenced in on all four sides, and until even the fourth side is finished. So Marshall adds to that point of Tosfos that he could say, Tosfos mentioned earlier, he could say, I would have been willing to pay for the cheapest possible way of watching it, but then when it comes to the fourth one, on the other hand, you do have this consideration that when a person sees that he already has three walls and all he has to do is add to a fourth, then he would be happy to do that, and at least he gets a fourth wall. The Tanakama would say, therefore, that he's potter. On the other three, the Rabbi Yossi is going to say he's chayev. So we have one answer that we're talking about, that the question is whether we should have to pay for a watchman versus for an actual field. The second possibility would be that are we being mechayev him for the first three walls as well, or only for the fourth one? And then a third answer, we both say, Maka for Nika, Fika Benayu. Or the third possibility, as we discussed in the Mishnah, is that you can look at it, who is making the fourth wall. Till now, we were assuming, as we started out, as Rabbi Huda started out the Gemara by saying that we mean whether the Makif or whether the Nikif made the fourth wall, either way, the dinim would be the same, as we've been saying so far. But maybe not, actual. Maybe not, actually. Maybe the difference would be who actually put up that fourth wall. The Tanakama saw the time of the Omer Nikif, the Megagon all of us are called, only when the Nikif put up that fourth wall, then we can say he showed that he was pleased with it so far, so therefore now we can make him responsible to pay for everything, for whatever portion up until now, definitely half of the fourth wall, and maybe even half of the first, second, and third walls. Aval Omad Makif, but if the Makif is the one who made the fourth wall, then you can say the Nikif never did anything to show that he appreciates having a fence. So therefore, you could say, so then you could say that at most, the guy in the middle is going to have to give towards the fourth wall. Because again, he was already yotzim and based in Zakai. If the guy had ever taken him to based in for any of the first three, the answer would have been that he's potter, so therefore now we're not going to be machayev him. Rabbi Yossi says, it's not going to matter whether it was the nikif or the makif, im omad v'goder, whichever one of them put up the fourth, megalgo and all of us are called, we're going to make him pay for the whole thing because he is benefiting from the whole thing. The Yad Ramah does point out there is a nuance of difference. After all, if the Makif put up something, then it depends what it was, whether it's gonna have to pay for stone or only to make kind of bezoil, whereas if it was the Nikif, then it's gonna be according to, of course, whatever he put up, because if he chose to use stones, then there's no question that he's on the hook to pay for stones. And if it was reeds, then he's only chayev to pay for reeds. Anyway. So there we have different ways of understanding the machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim and the Mishnah, which doesn't require us to say like Rav Huna that in all cases he has to pay for the value of the actual wall that was built, but rather that he can always be chayev only for Dmei Kanan Bezur. And the Gemara brings Lishna Achrina, another version of that third answer. It's not really, there's no substantive difference between the two Lishonos, as the Gemara has a few times in this Masechta, a different way of phrasing the same thing. Makif and Nikif, Ikabinayu, the Nafkamina between them, the argument between them would be about the Makif versus the Nikif. Tanakama Savrin got a Makif as a Revius Nami Yoivle. Tanakama holds, even if it was the Makif put up the fourth side, also the Nikif is going to be responsible to give him that fourth side. Nikif, for God is a Revius, Rabbi Yossi holds, only if the Nikif, only if the guy in the middle made the fourth wall, then he has to pay to Goli Daita, to Nichalei, because then he shows that he appreciated having the first three walls. Aval, im goder makif, but if the makif put up the fourth sign as well, lo yovle midi, then Rabbi Yossi might say that the nikif is not having to pay anything because he never had any, in no way did he ever demonstrate that he wants this wall. Which means, in other words, Tosfos says, it comes out, a big difference between this Loshon and the... So there is actually a substantive difference between this Loshon and the previous one. In all the previous Loshonis, it sounded like Rabbi Yossi is being Machmim, a Galgal, and all of us are called. We roll onto him, we make him responsible for everything, or meaning for half of everything. Now, all of a sudden, we have a Loshon over here that we're saying that actually, on the contrary, Rabbi Yossi might be Mekel, and if it was the Mak, if it was the guy on the outside who put up the fence, then he might be complete. Then the Nikif might be completely Potter, and only if the Nikif is the one who put up the fourth fence, then we would say that he's entitled to reimbursement for only half of it, and the other half of it is on him, because, and maybe even with the three walls as well, because then it shows that he's pleased with it. I believe there is actually someplace else where we've shown him talk about the possibility. Here at the beginning, we said that Rashi is talking about, we're talking about that he fenced in the borders between his fields on the outside and the one on the inside. I believe there's someplace else where we've shown him talk about the possibility that maybe it means that he made fences around his own field on the outside, where it ends up benefiting the one on the inside as well, because after all, then he has a certain benefit from it. So the Gemara tells a story. Runya, Akfe Ravina Ma'abar Ruchosav. Runya was surrounded by fields belonging to Ravina on all four sides of him. We've had Runya a couple of places in Bava Metzia. We had a story over there where he worked for Ravina for a while as a shasla, as a person whose job was to plant trees or vines or whatever and maintain them, and things didn't go well with them. B'chlal, from the few places in the Gemara where you have stories involving Runya, it seems the guy was a shtickle shlamazel. Anyway, So he was surrounded with fields of ravinas on all four sides. Now Ravina put up fences between them. Or again, maybe he put on fences around his own property. Amalei havli kama degadri. So Ravina says to Runa, you should pay me for your share of what I fenced in, like Rav Huna, like Rav Yosi, because we said the halacha is like Rav Yosi, and like Rav Huna's understanding of Rav Yosi. But Runa didn't give it to him. So Ravina says, fine, have the agarna tirusa, at least give me what you would pay for a watchman. Again, there comes a point during the season when your crops are almost ready to harvest, and if you don't have a watchman there, then anybody or anything is going to get in and eat them. At least you should be chayav for that. Also, lo yoivlei, and still Runya didn't want to pay for that as well. Yoim echad havaka godu dikli. One day Ravina was collecting, was harvesting the dates from date palms that he had on his property. So Ravina saw that he was doing that. So Omalei la'arise, so Ravina tells his oris, so was working his fields, zil shkermine kibura da'ahini, go take from Runya a cluster of dates, and let Runya see that you're doing it. Now you have you're not allowed to steal even as a joke or even to harass the other person or whatever. But here he knows that before he even goes and takes it, he's never going to be able to take it. Ozalasuya, he went to take it. Roma Bekola and Runya started yelling at him. What are you doing? These are my dates. Go away. So Ravina says, Golis Adaitcha, de Menach Nichaloch. Well then, by that you're showing that you do approve of that. There's a fence around the field that things are guarded. And after all, Loyehe Ela Izabalma. After all, fine. Even if it wasn't my artist coming in, wouldn't have been. Even just goats could come in. Milay Boy Natirusa. Wouldn't you at least need to guard the field against them? So if nothing else, you should have to pay for a watchman like you would if there was a concern of goats getting in. Omalei. So Runya answers back. So Runya answers back, Izaba Alma Lavla Achloya Boya. Why? With goats, all I need to do is yell at them and they'll go away. Rashi brings the word Lachloya has two possible meanings. It can mean to yell at them, it can also mean to hold them back. Rashi says that it's a lotion of yelling at, and the Yad Ramah rather says that it's a lotion of mania to prevent them from coming in. Okay, so therefore, in other words, Runya says, I don't really need a fence over here, all I need is that. Amalei, so Ravina answers back, Lav Gaver Bois to Mechila, Nu, aren't you going to need a person to stand there to yell at the goats? Well, there you go then. You would need a watchman over here. So therefore, so at least you should be paying me for that, like we said before. Also the Kameh de Rava, so the case came to Rava. Amalei and Rava says, yep, Zil Paisi B'madi Fais, go pay off Ravina whatever he was willing to accept before. He was willing to accept only Agam Netira, which is Lefnim Mishra Sadin. Better you should accept that, the Eloi, and if not, De'in Loch Dina could have Huna Alib de Rav Yosi, then I'm going to paskin on you the Halacha like Rav Huna following Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi was said in the Mishnah, Gaugel and all of us are called, and Rav Huna, who said that we're going to make him pay according to the actual value of what was used for the fence. So in other words, you're better off. You're better off paying what Ravina is willing to accept at this point. So therefore, better do that. So Tosfos points out. Now you could say that Rava is saying that in order to frighten Runya, in order to blackmail him into paying. And Tosfos points out if he actually meant to that kind of thing, then he would have used other expressions that we find in other places in Shas. I'd put you in Cherem or this and that, etc. So Tosfos says, and Rashi also mentions, we see from this the halacha is in fact like Ravina, it is in fact like Rav Huna and like Rav Yosi. Again, this is one of these Tosfos Merenu Shmuel. So this is another one of those additions that the Rashbam added in Rashi. But yeah, it comes out that the halacha is like that. Tosfos also points out the Loshin Zil Paisei suggests that as well. It means, okay, you know, at least you could get away, you instead of having to pay the entire thing, you're getting away cheaper over here by paying less than you would have otherwise had to Api Alocha. The fact is, of course, there is also, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, there's a mitzvah before to make a pshara, when possible, to make a pshara in a din Torah, so therefore, so he was trying to do that. Another time, another story involving Runya and Ravina. Runya Zovan Ara Maitsra de Ravina. Runya bought a piece of land next to one of Ravina's properties. So here, in other words, before Runya's original field was in the middle of Ravina's properties. Now he was able to buy another field on the other side. You have with Ravina's field in between his. Sovar Ravina la Saluki Mishum Dinah de Bar Metzra. Ravina thought to remove him from there under the din of Bar Metzra, which we learned a couple of weeks ago in Bava Metzia, where you have, if Reuven is buying a field next to Shimon's field, then Shimon has the right to say, you know what, I have first rights to buy that field because it would be more advantageous to me to have one big field. You, Reuven, could always buy the same field someplace else, and therefore, in effect, Reuven becomes Shimon's shliach, and therefore Shimon can pay him off and take over the field for himself. So Ravina thought to do exactly that. Omale Rav Safra Bered Rav Yeva La Ravina. However, Rav Safra Bered Rav Yeva told Ravina, no, don't do that. Amri Inshi, it's like the expression people say, Arba'olat Sala Lo. So four for Tzala and four for Tzala Lo. Now, what does that mean? Rashi first brings from his Rebbein that Sala means a poor leather worker and Sala Lo means a rich one. So Rav Safra is telling Ravina, listen, after all, you know, a poor person needs as much food as a rich person. Food is food. So this guy is poor. He needs the field for his panasa. You're telling me Vasisa Yoshevatoy, which is the basis of the whole concept of Bar Metzra, that it would be the right and the just thing to do to leave this field to me. Listen, from your point of view also, Vasisa Yoshevatoy, you also, the poor guy, Nebuch, he finally managed to find a field to buy. Don't treat him with the dinner Bar Metzra. That's the point there. That's the Rashi's Rebbeim. Then Rashi brings at some length, there's a problem with that. The Tzala doesn't mean the leather worker, it means the leather itself. So Rashi explains Runya, his profession was he was a leather worker. So he would tan leather and then he would sell them to people who are going to be making shoes and other such things. So Rav Safra is telling him, this guy barely makes any profit off it. He has to pay. So he's the middleman basically. He's not the tanner and he's not the shoemaker. So he basically he's buying the tzala, the leather, the skin itself for four, and he's selling it and he's paying to pay for to the leather workers to make something out of it, which is the tzalala. So therefore, at least let him leave this to have this thing for his panosa of his household. So it's similar to the first explanation in the sense he's telling him, listen, give the poor shlamazel a break. The difference is that in the first version, tzala and tzalala both meant the leather worker, and in the second version, tzala means the leather and tzalala means the leather worker. Then Rashi mentions another explanation. Li nira, he says to me, it seems, which this is something added by somebody else over here. That the vote would be that again, the idea is everybody needs the same amount of food, whether they're poor or rich. Runya has finally one field in the middle of all of Ravina's fields, and now he wants to be able to buy another field with Ravina's field in between. So Rav Safra tells him at least to let him have that one. Now at least he'll gain, his fields are relatively close together, and therefore fine, it won't be one contiguous field. He's still not gaining from that, but at least he's gaining from the fact that the fields are relatively close to one another. Then you have, with all of these explanations, Tosfos then says, 1 second, Ein Merachamim Badin. We have yes, you're supposed to go to Finim Meshuras Adin and all that, but the fact is, when it comes to a Din Torah, the Torah clearly tells us you don't discriminate between poor and rich. The fact is, Ravina had every right to do it, and Sova Ravina makes it sound like he was wrong in that. So, for a number of reasons, Tosfos didn't like all this explanation, and the vote was, then now, what happened was, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam, Runya bought, so again, we said before, Ravina had fields on all four sides of Runya. Now what happened is, Runya bought one field where Ravina is now surrounding it on three sides. Rather what it is actually he's buying another field where now Runya is a neighbor of it from one side and Ravina from three sides. So Ravina figured that since I'm three against one, then I should have the better right to it. And Rav Safra tells him that no, with a tzala, with a large piece of leather versus tzala law, a small piece of leather, you have to put as much work into it. The same way, he has every much right as to the din bar metzora for being a neighboring field on one side as you do from three sides. Then there's yet another explanation that Ravina was that Runya was an oris in these fields, as we learned in Bava Metzia that he was Ravina's oris. So Safra is telling him that look, he doesn't own the actual karka, but nevertheless, since he's working the fields to that extent, he has a certain din of bar metzra, and therefore you should give him a chance and allow him to keep that field. So we have so far at least five different explanations of what this arba l'tzala law means. But in any case, the point is Rav Safra is telling Ravina, don't be too hard on the guy, give him a break and let him keep this field for himself. Okay. Mishnah says, Koiso chotzer shenofal, when the wall between chatzeres falls down. So we said in the first Mishnah, you have to put up a wall between the chatzeres, and then the fact that the two of them share in it equally. So when it fell down, so we said in the first Mishnah, they split all of the debris, all of the rubble equally, but now it has to be rebuilt. So mechayv noisel of noisa adama amos. So therefore, we require each of them to share in his portion of it up to four amos. Four amos is enough to avoid hezek re'ia, because there's two possibilities throughout Shas that it talks about in terms of how tall a person is. There are some Gemaras that imply that a person is three amos tall and others that imply that he's four amos tall. Three amos, it comes up in the Halachas of Mikveh, it comes up in other cases. One way of looking at it is that three amos is only up to his shoulders and the fourth amos is the height of his head. Nevertheless, the fact is, though, you don't see all the way from the top of your head. Your eyes are a few inches below that, so therefore that helps. That would prevent hezekria. The other way of looking at it is that, a person's height is three amos from head to toe, and therefore four amos is definitely more than tall enough to prevent him, even if he stands on tiptoe, from seeing anything. So they have to rebuild it up to four amos. So now what happens is, if it was built to four amos and afterwards one of them claims that I built it out of my own funds, the other guy didn't want to help me, so now I had to lay out all the money myself. Now, as we learned in the first Mishnah, I'm entitled to be reimbursed half. So he's saying that the other guy didn't give his fair share and I'm demanding that he pay it. So we said cheskas shenosan. We have a chazaka that he gave it. Adchi yovi raya shalay nosan. Unless the one who wants to claim it, because he's going to say brings proof, brings edim that he demanded from the other guy and he didn't give him. Because everybody knows, it actually explains, everybody knows this din that the two people share, that the two neighbors share equally in building the wall. So therefore, to begin with, why would he go and build it unilaterally on his own, knowing that afterwards he's going to have to go to Beis Din and get reimbursed? To begin with, we would assume he would go to Beis Din to begin with and demand that the guy pay his fair share. On the other hand, midalat amos alamaylon. But if it was built any taller than four amos, we're there. That's not required to be built because hezekria is not an issue. Higher than four amos. Keep in mind, by the way, you could say, what about you're going to look from an upper floor or something? But houses generally in those days were single floor, so I guess that wouldn't be much of an issue. If it is, obviously, I guess you'd have relevant dinim in that. Anyway, so if it's taller than four amos, in mechayvenoi, so we don't require the other guy to share in the expenses at all, because once we're beyond four amos, then it's not required for hezekria. And as the Yad Ramah points out, he could even say, you know what, fine, in the past I was willing to build a taller wall, but now that it collapsed and we need to rebuild it anyway, I don't want to build it any taller than we have to. So therefore, so now above four amos, he's not chayev. And on the other hand, samach like koisel acher. On the other hand, if he came and put another wall next to it, so in other words, you have got Reuven and Shimon over here. Reuven rebuilt the wall and went beyond four amos, and Shimon didn't want to help because he says, as the Mishnah says, Shimon can claim there's no reason. I don't need a wall more than four amos. It's not going to. I don't need it for hezekria. But now later on. Shimon went and built another wall opposite it, where now he can put beams and then and things from one to the other. So even before he put up the beams and everything, then therefore, so Magalgal and all of it, so Afapishan Shalinasan, all of us at Tikra, even if he didn't put up the roof yet, Magalgal and all of us at Kol, nevertheless we can already make him pay for his fair share of above four amas, because then he's obviously showing that he approves of it, that he once the wall is there, that he's using it for his purpose. Well, that means, in other words, that he wants to have a wall there higher than four, otherwise he wouldn't have been able to build his building. Therefore, we can make him responsible for paying his half of that higher part of the wall. Even though he didn't put up the roof yet. And there, b'cheskas shalei nosan, there the chazaka is that he didn't yet give it, ad sheyavi raya shenosan, unless he brings proof that he did bring it, because here you have the other way around. Normally, he's not required to pay, So now if he says, now if he's going to say, yeah, but you built a wall opposite it, therefore you need to pay. So now if he wants to pay, if he wants to claim that I paid, only if he has Edim for that, that's not so obvious that he should have to pay. Maybe you could say, look, those walls are already there. I may as well take advantage of it. So therefore, so he's not likely to pay before Beis Din actually tells him, you know, the din is in this case, you're going to have to pay. So therefore, we can assume he didn't pay, because we can assume that he didn't unilaterally go and pay unless Beis Din told him to. Tosfos points out, now there is a concept, Zen Nan of Zalei Choser, but once he shows that he approves, that he appreciates the fact that it was raised up, then we say then Zen Nan of Zalei Choser doesn't apply anymore, because then in fact, then it's like that case before, the Makif and the Nikif, where now he's actually demonstrating that he does want and he does approve of it. Another point, Tosfos says there is a Zechoser after all, because now he caused him that now, after all, he is going to build a building over there, which means there is a potential problem of Hezek Re'iyah above four Amos, and therefore, in effect, that retroactively makes that the guy had to make a taller wall over there, and therefore it comes out there is a Choser after all. So the Gemara brings in a machlokas about this general concept. So we're saying in the Mishnah, in other words, in short, that you can have a case where a person is chayev to pay something, but we don't always say that he necessarily paid it before he was required to by Beis Din. Only when it actually comes to Beis Din, only then does he pay. So the Gemara is going to bring up a point that's going to relate to this. So Amar Shlokish, Akeveyas Man Machaveri, if a person sets up a time by which the other person is going to pay him. So he lent him money and he tells him, you have to pay me back by such and such a deadline. Tosfos points out, by the way, we do say Stam Nilva Shloshim Yom, we learned in Bava Metzia, that a loan by default is meant to be for 30 days. However, since he didn't specify 30 days, then therefore there's no such thing as Tosfos Mani. Here we're going to talk about what if he claims that he paid before the deadline. Well, if no deadline was ever specified, then we say that the fact that he could very well pay within the 30 days, and it's not so unusual that he would do that. But here we're talking about where the guy actually told him, you have X number of days or X number of months or whatever, is it likely that he pays during that time? So the Shlokher says, no. If now the loiva says, I paid you during the time before the deadline, ain't an emon, we don't believe him. We don't believe him unless he brings edim or something to that effect. Tosfos talks about that we're talking about that there are edim that he owes him, that he owed him the money, and that there was kaveh le zman. Otherwise, he has a migri. So we have to be talking about, Tosfos says that we're talking about that this is actually, Tosfos says, on the day that the deadline is over. So now already, then at that point, we say we don't believe him without some kind of proof. So then Rabbeinu Yonah says that no, that I'm banned, and that I'm banned. Rabbeinu Yonah says that we're talking about that it's Acher Azman, he's saying that you still didn't pay me back during that time, and you don't have a migri that you paid. Anyway. So Rish Lakish says that we don't believe him. He says, I paid you during the time. Ain't a neman. We don't believe him. Olavai, she for bizmani. Olavai, at least a person would pay when he's obligated to, when the deadline comes. Many times people delay and don't even pay after that. We certainly shouldn't expect that he's going to pay before the time. Again, we have to be talking about, as Tosfos says, where he has edim both on the halva and the time when he was supposed to pay. Otherwise, the other guy has a migri. On the other hand, Abaye v'Rava d'Ami Tavai, both Abaye and Rava say, no, Abed Inish, part of a Gozimne, a person might well pay within the deadline, because Omar, Zimnin, Misrami Lezuzi, he might manage to put together the money. Omar, and he thinks to himself, Ezali Pari, let me go pay him off. Ki heki, the low litrud, on this way the guy doesn't go and bug me for it when the time comes. So therefore, so we do believe him to say, that he's going to pay at the end of the time. Tosfos points out, you have, for example, with Pidyon HaBen, it's not like that. Pidyon HaBen, for example, you don't say that kind of din. We touched on this in Bava Metzia, the difference being that with Pidyon HaBen, you don't have, there's no particular koyin that you chayev to give the Pidyon HaBen to more than any other, so there it's called Momen She'en Le'Toivin, there's no particular claimant for that money, so therefore you can't necessarily say that he would pay the Pidyon HaBen during the 30 days. But here what we're talking about, where there's a particular person that he owes the money to, and on top of that, with the bechor, after all, also the baby might rachmal islam pass away during the 30 days. So therefore, therefore he might not do it ahead of time. But in this case, we're talking about he might well do it ahead of time because he doesn't want the guy to bug him. Well, the Gemara says tanan. We learned in our Mishnah becheskas shenasan. We have the case where one of them built the wall and is claiming that he built it all out of his own funds and needs reimbursement for the other half. So we said becheskas shenasan. So the other guy has a chazaka that he already paid. Actually, yavi rai shalenasan, unless the teveya brings proof that he didn't. So, heichidami, what's the scenario? Are we talking about that Shimon is saying, I paid you in the time as soon as you finished building the wall, I right away gave you the money? And then of course he has a chazaka that he gave. We know already a person has, that's exactly the taina that we're going to learn about in Masechta Shavuos, where Reuven says, and the other one says, I don't owe you anything. So in this case, that would be exactly that. It's a koifer hakel. Midar Raisa, there's no shvua. Midar Abanan, fine, there's going to be a shvua's heses. But here we're talking on a Dar Raisa level, on the original Dar Abanan level. So if he says pratich bizmani, then of course we would be, of course we would believe him. And Tosfos also adds, it's not like the guy told him, you have to pay me back with Edim. If he did, that would be different. We're going to learn such cases in Masechta Shavuos, Bez Hashem. But here we're talking about where he just says that it's a question of trust, whether he paid him. And the Mishnah says clearly that we believe him in such a case. That's Kofer Hakel. El Olav de Omele Praticha B'Toich Zmani. So obviously the case of our Mishnah then would have to be that he says, I paid before you were finished, before you got to the 4 Amal height. Alma avadinish to pari b'seich zimne. So we see that a person would pay within the time, not wait for the deadline. So therefore, how does our Mishnah fit according to Rish Lakish? And the Shittim Kovetzis adds a point that because over here to begin with, the wall has to be built by both of them, and he could to begin with force him to pay even before they build the wall. So therefore we could say also that the chiyuv already exists. We wouldn't say the chiyuv only kicks in when the wall is finished. No, the chiyuv kicks in right at the beginning, and therefore Abaye and Rava are saying he might well give the money right away then, rather than waiting until the other guy starts harassing him. The point is we're saying a point to Rish Lakish over here, but fine, even a point to Rish Lakish, we're talking, so that's the question was, again, on Rish Lakish, then we see that a person would pay Teich Zmanai, and the answer is Shani Hocha, the whole Shofa V'Shofa, Zimnehu. Well, that's exactly the point. Every row of bricks that gets put into the wall is already the time. It's not like the Chiyuv kicks in only at the end. Every time, even from the beginning, when the wall is built, he's already chayev. So therefore, the Shlokish might say that's different than a loan with a deadline where you're not chayev to pay any part of the loan until the deadline. We're here, in principle, you're chayev to pay. Every time there's more of the wall being constructed, then you're chayev to pay. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. The Mishnah continues. Becheskas shalei nasan. We have a case where the wall was built taller than 4 amos, and Ikar Adin, the guy's not chayev to pay. But then, if he went and started using it for a parallel wall, then we do make him pay. And then we say becheskas shalei nasan. Now he has a chazaka that he did not pay, because usually, as Rashi had said, the din that he would have to pay in such a case is not well known. Ad shiyavi rai shalei nasan, unless he brings proof that he did pay. So again, we have to ask, Hechidomi, what is the scenario? Ilema do amale praticha bizmani. Are we talking about that he said, I paid you in the time, when the when as soon as I finished my war, and therefore now I know how much I have to pay you for, because you have to consider, the Gemara is going to talk about over the next couple of blah. Suppose, for example, the wall is 10 amas tall, and he built his parallel wall to there 8 amas tall. We're not going to make him be mechayiv him for the entire 10 amas, because he doesn't need the extra 2. He's only using the extra 4, from 4 to 8. So therefore you can say, when I finished my wall, then I figured out how much now I owe you, and therefore I went and paid you right away. But if he says that, again, the question is, am I loy? Why wouldn't we believe him? Again, classic koifer hakel. El alav d'omale praticha b'seich zmani. Evidently, it has to mean that he says that I paid you before the time, before I even finished building my wall, and we would say that we don't believe him, because how could you possibly know at that point how much you're going to have to pay? So alma loy ovid inish depara b'koizimne. So we see that a person does not tend to pay during the time. We don't say that I estimated my wall will be X amount of height, and therefore I'll pay within that. So how can we say that a person pays toches manri? The answer is shiny hocha de Omar, because when he finishes his wall, the fact is, again, he doesn't really know this concept that once he builds a parallel wall, he's going to be chayev. So he configures shiny hochot amam mi yemer de mechayv uli rabbanon. Who says the basin is going to require me to pay anyway? Not necessarily. He doesn't know the din so obviously that the chachamim are going to be mechayv him. So even if we say praticha bizmano, even if we were to say I did pay in time when I finished my wall, we might not believe him. So with a halva, he knows how much he owes and he knows how much he has to pay. But here, he may say, it's not necessarily, I don't know whether I have to pay just because I'm using this wall. Maybe it is zenen of zalei chaser, like Tosfos had said before. So therefore, it's not so obvious. And therefore, we could say that, therefore, Abaye and Rava would say here, in this case, you can't expect that he would pay in advance. That doesn't necessarily show by a regular case of halva, where he knows perfectly well he owes the money and he knows how much he owes, that he might not pay during the time. Well, the Gemara says, Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei d'Yeshua, Avdi k'Abaye v'Rava. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei d'Yeshua pask in an actual case like Abaye and Rava, where a person claimed that I paid within the time, and they believed him. On the other hand, Ma'abar Avashi Ovid K'Rish Lokish, Ma'abar Avashi held and paskin like Rish Lokish, that we don't believe him to say that he paid Turks Manai. And the Gemara says, V'hilchsa K'Rish Lokish, the halacha is in fact like Rish Lokish, that we don't believe him, that they paid during the time. V'afilu miyasmi, and that would apply even if we're collecting from Yisoymin. So if the loiva died before the deadline, then you can collect from the Yisoymin even without having to swear. Normally, when you're collecting from Yisoymin, you have to, there's a bunch of rules. You have to swear that it wasn't paid off, and you can collect only from Karka, and so on and so forth. Here, you can collect without a shvuah because it's very unlikely that the guy paid. Again, because of this reason, that a person doesn't normally pay Torch Zmanri. So even though we normally say when a person wants to collect from Nichsi Yisoymim, lo yipora ela b'shvuah, he can collect only with a shvuah. Here, chazaka lo yavad inish depora b'gozimne. Here, the fact that you have this chazaka that a person doesn't pay during the time is enough to override that. And therefore he can collect from them even without a shavur. Tosfos discusses, first of all, what kind of yisoymim are we talking about? Are we talking about yisoymim who are ketanim? They don't really have a mitzvah yet to pay off their father's debt. Dolim do, because mitzvah lefroya chayvas aviyim, it's called, they have a mitzvah to pay off their father's debt. Ketanim are not chayvin a mitzvah yet, so therefore we can talk about whether we're talking about over here gdolim or ketanim. And Tosfos goes and discusses the pros and cons of that a little bit, whether in fact we are talking about Yisoymim Gdolim or Ketanim. And Tosfos also discusses where exactly this din comes from and various other details about that. One thing is that therefore Tosfos brings a practical halacha from it also. A person brings out a shtar chayv on somebody else and the loiva says, well, swear to me that I didn't pay you, that I didn't pay you during the time. He's not required, the basin is not going to say, yes, you have to swear that shavua, and only then you can collect. Because again, the chazaka that he didn't pay is so strong that if he wants to claim that he paid, the loiva is going to have to bring proof that he paid, and if not, then he's going to have to pay. If later on he brings a proof that he actually paid previously, and then now he's paid double, then there'll be a new din torah, and he'll get reimbursed for that double payment that he made. And so we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow, Bez Hashem. We'll deal with various other angles on this matter of paying Toch Zmanai and so forth and how it relates to our Mishnah.